Jesus Christ paid the redemption price and rescued us out of that bondage. He redeemed us, if you will. He ransomed us. Peter says, knowing that you were not redeemed from your futile way of life, inherited from your fathers, you were not redeemed with silver and gold, perishable things. God didn't just pay several thousand or million or billion, or he didn't pay anything that could be measured that way. You weren't redeemed with perishable things like silver and gold, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless.
Welcome to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Today we continue in our study of the book of Romans. Pastor Scott brings part four of the message titled Justification by Faith. And we invite you to follow along with us now as we get started.
Jesus Christ is the object of our faith, and you cannot overemphasize Christ in any aspect of your life. I have never seen a Christian who's gone to seed on Christ. I mean, you can go to seed in a variety of ways, I suppose. In fact, you see people go to seed on this doctrine and that doctrine, become imbalanced. I've never seen one go to seed on Jesus Christ. So keep Christ at the center of your thinking, at the center of your heart. Now, picking it up there, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. If verses 21 and 22 showed us the nature of justification, that it is by faith, then verses 23 and 24 spell out the principle. It is by grace. And the basis or the ground of justification, the passage goes on and elaborates on, the blood of Jesus Christ. And in fact, you'll find all these great doctrines, these great teachings right here in chapter 3. And I would encourage you to look at it. And today, we're going to look at verse 23, 24. We're going to see the economic terms, the cost of justification. Next time, we'll look at the legal terms down in verses 25 and following. How can God be righteous and declare someone like me and you righteous? So we'll look more at the legal side of it next time as the passage kind of flows in it. But for now, the economic side, the cost, the value, the worth, the price tag. You know, I'm not a shopper. Amen. My wife. When Chris and I go shopping, well, let's see, 81, and then 90, I think 93 we did, and fairly recently. The first thing I want to look at, I don't know why she ever wants me to come, because I always want to look at the price tag. She says, is this cute? I don't know. Let me see. And I look for the, what's cute mean? You know, as far as I'm concerned. My daughter said the other day, Dad, she's practicing at the table, you know, doing her pantomime of Dad. She says, Dad, when you get something, you know, do you like these new shoes, Dad? Well, how much you give for them? And then I decide whether I like them or not. You say, well, you're cheap. No, it's her money. She can spend, but I want to teach her to use it well. But I'm always concerned about the price. And some people, they tell me, just look at the worth of something, you know, or the value of it. But when you come to verse 24, I want us to see these are economic terms. And we're looking at something that is completely valuable and that is absolutely free and yet infinitely costly. And the Bible, as always, keeps these things in beautiful balance for us. And so as we let the Bible guide us, as we let God's Word, His statement of it, teach us why we will stay in good balance. Now, remember, Romans is talking about how man stands before God. Not before man, but before God. All, verse 23, have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is absolutely no merit. He comes back to it. Now, in one sense, verse 23 is just restating, reframing what he spent three chapters underlining for us. But he comes back to it and says it again. There's no distinction. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The idea is that we're not what we were meant to be at all. We fall short. We lack. That's what the term means. To be in need of. And I mean totally lack. You know, it's translated. It's interesting to kind of look where it's translated elsewhere in the New Testament. And this word fall short. It's translated destitute in Hebrews 11:37. When the wine gave out, remember at Cana in Galilee when Jesus was at the wedding? The wine gave out and Mary said to Jesus, "We don't have any wine. There's none left." They were broke, you know, of wine, so to speak. Well, that's what he's saying here, to be completely in need. You know, the prodigal son, when he went off and spent all he had on high times, so he thought, and then he finally ended up just destitute. And he found himself, Luke says, in need. Our Lord used this term. I'll say he was in need. He was wanting to eat the hog slop, wasn't he? He was broken and empty. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We were meant to reflect God's glory. We're created in the image of God, but we have sinned. And we're going to talk about that some more tonight in our time looking at what took place before the flood. But sin destroys, and all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But now verse 24. Being justified as a gift by His grace. God has intervened. God saw us in our need, and He has intervened, and that is why justification must be and is by grace. Unmerited favor. There is nothing that you and I can do to merit God's favor. Grace. Unmerited favor. Undeserved blessing. I mean, we throw the term around a lot. And it's good that we use it a lot because it's in the Bible a lot. It's littered, and I think 140 times you'll find it in the New Testament. But don't become, you know, so familiar with the term that you forget what it really means. To be saved by grace. For by grace you've been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. Ephesians 2. Or later in Romans when he says, if it's by grace, is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. Don't try to mix works in any way. Just like we saw last time, it's apart from the works of the law. Why, here he emphasizes when he says, we're saved, we're justified by grace. He emphasizes the same thing. There's no room for any kind of merit. In fact, if you want a good definition of grace, look at verse 24. Being justified as a gift by His grace. That little phrase, as a gift, dorion. That's what it means to be saved by grace. As a gift. Nothing that we can do. Our sinful hearts keep trying to come up with some sort of worth within ourselves. It's always a perversion of the gospel to find some value or worth in man that would somehow explain God's grace. No, God is glorified when we confess that we had nothing to offer God but sin. Our generation is particularly prone to this. In fact, our Christian generation is constantly taking the cross, even, and God's love, and twisting it around and finding value for ourselves in it, and worth, and self-worth, and propping man back up. I'll tell you, you never really grasp what God has done in its full depth by doing that. Take your place as a sinner. You know, you'd say, I think you might ask, well, why does he say it again in verse 23? Why does he come back and say it again? He just spent three chapters saying this. Because he wants us down where we belong so that we can appreciate the grace that comes to us as a gift. Dorion. It's very interesting and instructive adverb. As a gift by his grace. And you might ask the question, how does God justify? And I could answer, as a gift. As a gift. Freely. It's translated, you think through the way it's used in the New Testament, and it's instructive to get a handle on this, because his grace we lay hold of as a gift. Freely you've received, freely give, Jesus said. You remember in Matthew 10? That's the term, freely. You've been given. Now, freely give. Freely you've received, freely give. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11 that he preached the gospel without charge. He said, I maybe should have charged you, because the Corinthians were getting all haughty, and he said, but I preached the gospel without charge. That's the term, without charge. In 2 Thessalonians, when he gave instruction, he said that I didn't eat anyone's bread without paying for it. That's the term again. I didn't just take freely. He said, I earned my keep when I was in town. But he uses this term, freely, without paying for it. Jesus Christ said, Revelation 21:6, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. Without cost. Oh boy, don't you rejoice in that when you think about it? Because you and I, we didn't have anything to pay anyway. We didn't have anything to pay with. And he says, listen, I'll give it to you freely. In one sense, you can look at verse 24 and the rest of this passage as an explanation of that great statement. Listen to this one in Isaiah 55. Remember the great invitation that the prophet gave back in Isaiah? Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Ho, come, everybody who's thirsty. Without money, come buy. How can you buy without money? How could he make this kind of offer? Well, Romans explains. Romans gives the details of the proclamation that Isaiah made. And that's what he's saying here. It's absolutely without cost. Let the one who's thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. Revelation 22, almost the last verse in the Bible. Dorion, without cost. Come, take, freely. Can't pay for it. He'll give it to you completely free. Don't argue. Don't quibble. Don't dicker. It's ridiculous, really, when you think about it. He wants to give this, and man wants to kind of come up with something. I've never dickered upward in my life, I don't think. Have you? Well, yes, I did one time. I still regret it. A friend of mine was going to sell me a car for $40, a real gem, And I remember feeling bad and giving him 50. And then when I drove it home, I realized I should have given him 40. But what is it that would make us want to, when God says free, I'll tell you what it is, it's pride. We don't want to take it as a gift. The wages of sin is death. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And we want to somehow have participated. And he says, no, it's as a gift by his grace. He says in Galatians 2, he says, if righteousness came through the law, then Christ died for nothing. Needlessly is the way it's translated, but it's for nothing. And that's the same term, turned around, that he uses here. Or here it is again, John 15. You remember when Jesus was quoting the 69th Psalm, and he said, they hated me without a cause. Just as there was no reason to hate Christ. Have you ever thought about that? They hated me, Jesus said, without a cause. There was nothing in Christ that should have elicited hate. Everything about him was praiseworthy and should elicit love, but man hated him without a cause. There was no reason to Rion without a cause. Just as there was no reason for man to hate Christ, so there is no reason for God to love us. But he did. He justified us without a cause in us. Nothing to draw forth his love from us. Utterly unmerited. Let me encourage you, when you question what is grace, just look at that phrase right next door, as a gift by his grace. But don't you ever begin to think then that salvation is cheap. It's free, but it is not cheap. It cost God everything. This is the marvel of it. Look at the rest of the verse. Being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. God paid for it. And he paid for it with the blood of his only son. The redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Think of what that means. God looked down and he saw us in our sin, in our filth, in our corruption, in our vanity, in our pride, in our arrogance. And he paid the price of his son's death, because the wages of sin is death. Jesus Christ ransomed us. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave his life as a ransom for all. You see, this is another economic term. Just like as a gift is an economic term, so redemption is an economic term. I think of what Paul said at the end of his time with the Ephesian elders there. He said, you guard the flock, you know, of God, which he purchased with his own blood. With his own blood. What did Jesus Christ pay for us? His own blood. The Son of Man came to give his life a ransom for many. In him we have redemption through his blood, Ephesians says. Or I think of that text over in Peter, when Peter says, knowing that you were not purchased, you were not redeemed. You see, we were in bondage to sin. We were in the slave market of sin. And the Bible teaches this, and I think every Christian knows what it's saying, that we were absolutely in bondage to sin. We were in the slave market of sin, and Jesus Christ paid the redemption price and rescued us out of that bondage. He redeemed us, if you will. He ransomed us. And Peter says, knowing that you were not redeemed from your futile way of life, inherited from your fathers, you were not redeemed with silver and gold, perishable things. God didn't just pay several thousand or million or billion, or he didn't pay anything that could be measured that way. You weren't redeemed with perishable things like silver and gold, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless. It is an affront to try to pay for that sort of thing, isn't it? With money. I was embarrassed when the president said he'd send $1.5 million to Denver to help with the grief. What is that going to do? It's an affront, as far as I'm concerned. You can't pay in monetary ways for life. And Jesus Christ, God's Son, gave his life for us. Don't you come and start digging in for some pocket change out of your life. Bible says all our righteousness is what? As a filthy garment. We don't even have any money. And if we do, think we do, God says it's like a soiled, disgusting, filthy garment to try to pay. Oh no. He offers us salvation. Justification is absolutely free, even while it is infinitely costly. Don't ever turn loose of that. The scripture insists on it. You've been bought with a price, the Bible says. Oh, what a price. What a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. You can only measure the cost of justification by the cross. The only measurement is the cross of Jesus Christ. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Oh, Romans takes our minds and gets them cleared and seeing things from God's perspective. And no one is justified. No one is declared righteous by any kind of merit, but rather by his free, undeserved, without cost to us, grace that cost him everything. Everything. Are you thirsty? Tired? Parched? I marvel that the Bible closes with this gracious invitation, you know. Whoever's thirsty, let him come drink of the water of life without cost. Without cost. God says, I've taken care of that. I'll say he did. Cost him his son. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He hung on that cross. The sky went dark. He became, the Bible says, an accursed thing. He became sin for us. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. No wonder the Bible says, oh, you thirsty? Come drink. You without money, come buy. Buy. How in the world could we ever do that? Because God paid the ultimate price. He gave his son for us. And you know, he gave us this table to remind us of that. We come around the table regularly to remember this. There's nothing healthier for your life and for my life than to regularly think on this, to mull it over. Don't let a day go by when you don't praise God for the gift of salvation in Christ. Oh, thank him for everything. I mean, we've got every reason to give thanks, and we're to give thanks for everything. But the underlying awe and reverence comes that he laid his son down on our behalf, the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Please stay with us. Pastor Scott will return in just a moment with a preview of our next broadcast. Today's program was titled, Justification by Faith, a message from our series in the book of Romans. If you missed a portion of the message heard on the program today, or you'd like to share it with a friend, head on over to downtownbible.org. A free copy of today's entire message is available there for you to stream or download at your convenience. If you don't have a church home in the area, Pastor Scott would love to invite you to join us for our live online Sunday worship service at Southwest Bible Church. That's each Sunday morning at 8:30 and 11 a.m. You can find us live on YouTube by searching for SW Bible Live or go to swbible.org and click on Live Stream. We also broadcast the service live on the radio on True Talk 800 a.m. It's best to check the 800 a.m. program guide for up-to-the-minute schedule adjustments. We're continuing to see new growth in the Romans Project on the continent of Africa. Recently, we've added the countries of Guinea, Mali, Togo, and Ivory Coast to the ever-expanding outreach of the project. We'd like to invite you to learn more about this ministry or become a partner with us as we minister to pastors and church leaders throughout Africa. Just navigate over to RomansProject.org or connect with us at Facebook.com/RomansProject. Now, before we end our time today, let's go to Pastor Scott for a preview of our next broadcast.
Now, the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they had approached the presence of the Lord and died.
And the Lord said to Moses, tell your brother Aaron that he shall not enter at any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat, which is on the ark. Don't you just go in there any time, Aaron. And I'm sure Aaron was listening. His sons had died, lest he die. For I will appear in the cloud over the mercy seat. The whole idea here is you don't just come to God any which way. But the great truth of God is that He is holy and righteous, and our approach to Him must be on His terms, not our terms. And the Old Testament had all this truth taught to Israel, and so these terms, when they come up in Romans 3, are not just new thoughts, or they carry all this freight.
Join us again next time as we continue our series through the book of Romans. Pastor Scott brings part 5 of the message titled, Justification by Faith. Until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you.